Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, July 21st, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. We have just finished the paragraph on manifestation, and we are about to begin a great paragraph on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You're going to find out what virtue love is not and what virtue love is. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon in these last days, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. In this worldwide pandemic, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. In the apostasy of Client Nation USA, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. In the satanic attack of Russia against the Ukraine, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you, sir, that you have preserved for us the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we just finished the last paragraph that started at 1 John 2:28 and went all the way through the 1 John 3, 10a, halfway through verse 10. The corrected translation of that paragraph sounds like this. And now, dear children, congregation of believers, keep on abiding in him. And that's his two great words that John uses throughout his epistles, meno and agapao, or agape. And meno describes living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Keep on abiding in him, that is, keep on staying in fellowship with him, filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. For the purpose that when he appears, there's the first use of the verb phanerao. In this paragraph, we have a verb phanerao used five times. P-H-A-N-E-R-O long O. Phanerao. And this is why this paragraph is the paragraph of manifestation. For the purpose that when he, Phanerōs, appears, the rapture, we might have confidence and might not be disgraced, put to shame, by him, by Jesus Christ, at his coming, in the presence of Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 29. If you know that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is righteous, absolute righteousness in his deity, grace righteousness in his true humanity, you should have also come to know that everyone who practices righteousness, that is, who attains and executes grace righteousness, has been born from him. And then 1 John 3, verse 1. Consider how great, how wonderful, how glorious a love, virtue love, the Father, God the Father, has given to us that we should be called the children of God. And we are the children of God. And therefore the world, that is, people living in the cosmic system, they do not understand us. They don't understand believers living the spiritual life because they did not understand him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, beloved, now we are the children of God, that is, students under the authority and training of God. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. Phanerōs, the second time of Phanerōs. But we know that when he appears, the third use of Phanerōs, the rapture, we shall be like him, and our resurrection body will be similar to the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we shall see him just as he is. Verse 3, and everyone, every spiritually mature believer, who keeps on having and holding this hope 3, in him, Jesus Christ, keeps on purifying himself just as that unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pure. Verse 4, everyone, every believer who commits sin is also guilty of lawlessness. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Verse 5, indeed, you know that he, that unique person, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was revealed, the fourth use of Phanerōs, for the purpose that he might take away, remove, blot out our sins. In fact, there is absolutely no sin in him, the impeccability of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, anyone who abides in him, there's our word mano again, living the spiritual life as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life, he is not sinning. Anyone who sins is not seeing him. He's blinded to Christ, nor is he knowing him. Verse 7, little children, teachable believers, let no one deceive you. The one who does righteousness, maximum grace righteous production, living the spiritual life, he is grace righteous, he is a spiritually mature believer, just as he, that unique one, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, is grace righteousness. Verse 8, the one who commits sin, that is, who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple, an agent of the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was revealed, the fifth use of the verb Phanerōs, the first advent of Christ, namely, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, anyone who is born of God, spiritual birth, regeneration, he does not commit sin. He's not sinning. Because the seed of God, God the Holy Spirit, abides in him. There's our word mano again. He is filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. And he is not able to sin because he has been born of God. And then that brought us to the conclusion, the first half of verse 10. By this, the students, the disciples of God, that is, believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and the disciples of the devil, believers living in Satan's cosmic system, are manifest. And this is the adjective phaneros that comes from our verb phanerao five times. And it means manifest, apparent, obvious. By this, the students, the disciples of God, believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and the disciples of the devil, believers living in Satan's cosmic system, are manifest, they are apparent, they are obvious. The first half of 1 John 3, verse 10 is a conclusion. The very first two words is, by this. And by this looks backward at the paragraph on manifestation, chapter 2, 28 to 3, 9. And it brings it to a conclusion in the first half of chapter 3, verse 10. The word manifestation is the overriding theme of the paragraph 1 John 2, 29 to chapter 3, verse 10a. The Greek verb phanerao is the verb to manifest. It's used five times in chapter 2, 28 to chapter 3, verse 9. After chapter 3, verse 9, it only occurs one other time in the rest of the epistle, chapter 4, verse 9. And the adjective phaneros, which comes from phanerao, is only used one place, chapter 3, verse 10a. And it's used here to bring a conclusion to this paragraph. It draws on the preceding paragraph about manifestation, chapter 2, 28 to 3, 10. The children of God, the students, the disciples of God, are manifest. They're obvious. By living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attaining grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, and they have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. The disciples of the devil are also manifest. They are also obvious. Believers living in Satan's cosmic system of interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. 1 John is not an epistle that teaches who is saved and who is not saved. There are no unbelievers in the epistle of 1 John except for two mentions of the Antichrist in the future tribulation period, and he is an unbeliever. Otherwise, there are no unbelievers in the epistle of 1 John. Everything in this epistle is describing believers, winner believers and loser believers. But all of them are believers in Jesus Christ with eternal security. So the issue is, are you a student and disciple of God, or are you a disciple of the devil? If you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attain grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity, and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, then you are a student of God. You're a disciple of God. However, if you are living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, you are the devil's disciple. And today, in the time in which we live in America, most believers are the devil's disciples. If you have wrong priorities, if the Word of God is not your number one priority, then you will be distracted right out of the spiritual life and led by the nose into Satan's cosmic system. Believers living in the cosmic system cannot be distinguished from unbelievers living in the cosmic system. The devil's disciples do not manifest themselves in the same way. Some become very self-righteous and legalistic and function in moral degeneracy, And others become very lascivious and function in immoral degeneracy. Satan's cosmic system provides something for everyone. So we have again, by this, chapter 2, 28, all the way up to chapter 3, verse 10. By this, the students, the disciples of God, that is, believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and the disciples of the devil, believers living in Satan's cosmic system, are manifest. They are apparent. They are obvious. Now, by way of introduction to the next paragraph, the paragraph on virtue, love, and the sacred honor of the Royal Family Honor Code. 1. Now in 1 John 3:10b through chapter 3, verse 18, we have the paragraph on virtue love. And he's just getting warmed up in chapter 3. He gets more warmed up in chapter 4 and more in chapter 5. We're going to study virtue, love, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Nobody teaches it as thoroughly and completely as the Apostle John. So, 2, in 1 John 3:10b through verse 15, we have what virtue, love is not. In 1 John 3:10b through verse 15, we have what virtue love is not, or the illustration of the absolute necessity for having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 3. In 1 John 3, verses 16 to 18, we have what virtue love is. What virtue love is. Four. The emphasis in this paragraph is on grace righteousness. And grace righteousness, you don't have to write out. Most of you have got your shorthand going, and you ought to just put GR. GR, that's really, that's grace righteousness. You can probably remember that. And if it's SR, that's self-righteousness. You don't want to go there. And plus R, that's God's righteousness, absolute righteousness. Dikaiosune is used different ways in the Word of God. But here it's grace righteousness. And grace righteousness is a synonym for spiritual maturity. So, the emphasis in this paragraph is on grace righteousness, which is a synonym for spiritual maturity, and impersonal love for all. And that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. God wants you all, as believers in Jesus Christ, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, the motivational virtue, motivating impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. So the emphasis in this paragraph is on grace righteousness, the synonym for spiritual maturity, and impersonal love for all. 5. There is a very close relationship between the sacred honor and virtue of the Royal Family Honor Code and impersonal love for all. There is a very close relationship between the sacred honor and virtue of the Royal Family Honor Code and impersonal love for all. And that is brought out in this paragraph, and then amplify greater and greater and greater through the rest of chapter 3, on through chapter 4, the first half, and then culminating in chapter 4, the second half. The Apostle John keeps building greater and greater on the concept of virtue love as the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Six, the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills will advance to spiritual maturity. He will attain grace righteousness and have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. The believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills will advance to spiritual maturity, to grace righteousness, and have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Seven, he will manifest the sacred honor and integrity of the royal family honor code. He will manifest the sacred honor and integrity of the royal family honor code. That's where God wants you all to be. That's the objective for every believer, to attain this objective. Sacred honor and integrity manifested to all, the royal family honor code, which is impersonal love for all mankind. But we start out in 1 John 3, 10b with what virtue love is not. The believers living in the cosmic system has no grace righteousness. The believer living in the cosmic system has no impersonal love for all. The disciple of the devil has no grace righteousness. And most Christians today in America are disciples of the devil. They have no grace righteousness, no sacred honor, no integrity, no virtue. They do not live their life by the royal family honor code. They have no virtue love. They have no impersonal love for all mankind. Instead, they have hate. And what is really sad is they hate their fellow believers. They have mental attitude sins toward their fellow believers. They have sins of the tongue toward their fellow believers. They malign their fellow believers. They judge and slander and gossip about their fellow believers. Because why? They're living in the cosmic system. They're the devil's disciples. They are not the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ have great grace, righteousness, and virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. So, first of all, 1 John 3:10b, what virtue love is not, or the necessity for having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Whosoever doeth not righteousness. We have the adjective pos plus the articular present active participle of poieo with the negative me, plus the accusative singular of dikaiosune. The verb here is poieo. Looks like this in the Greek. That's P-O-I-E long O. Poieo. And poieo means to do. It means to produce. It means to manufacture. It means to attain. To do, to produce, to manufacture, to attain. The articular participle is substantival. That means it functions as a noun. And with the adjective pos, it is correctly translated anyone who does not do. Anyone who does not manufacture. Anyone who does not attain. That's the articular participle with the adjective pos. Anyone who does not do, anyone who does not manufacture, anyone who does not attain. And what does he not attain, manufacture, do? Dikaiosune. Looks like that in the Greek. That's D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N, long E. Dikaiosune. All right. One, dikaiosune generally is translated righteousness. But you have to understand that in the Word of God, dikaiosune is used in three different ways. So point two, sometimes it refers to plusar. Plusar, the righteousness of God. One of the attributes of God is a part of His holiness. The holiness of God is made up of the absolute righteousness of God and the perfect justice of God. And dikaiosune is used for plusar, the attribute of the absolute righteousness of God. And it's also plusar is the absolute righteousness of God that is imputed to the believer at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. When any human being places his faith in Jesus Christ, God imputes his plus R, his righteousness to the believer, and declares him to be justified, righteous, as a result of faith in Christ. That's plus R. But plus R is not what we have in our verse. The second use of righteousness is SR, self-righteousness. And self-righteousness is a great evil. Great evil. The worst thing you can be said about you is that you are a self-righteous believer. It is not only a sin, it is a great evil. So sometimes dikaiosune describes self-righteousness. That's the believer who is the disciple of the devil living in the cosmic system. And the third use of dikaiosune is GR, grace righteousness, and that's how it's used in our passage, and grace righteousness is a synonym for spiritual maturity. This is how it's used in our verse. Three, in our verse it refers to grace righteousness or spiritual maturity. Just a second here, I gotta take a sip of tea, green tea. Green tea is good for you. In our verse, it refers to grace righteousness or spiritual maturity. Four, it refers specifically to the sacred honor, virtue, and integrity of the royal family honor code. God has for all of us as believers in Jesus Christ a royal family honor code to live our life by and to manifest everywhere we go. And that royal family honor code is made up of sacred honor, virtue, and integrity. Five, the believer can only manufacture grace, righteousness, and sacred honor, and virtue, and integrity by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. God has given to us in the church age a unique spiritual life. That spiritual life only operates by divine power. The power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit, so we're commanded to keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. We're commanded to keep on living by the agency of the Spirit. And then it also operates by the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And when you learn and believe the Word of God, it gets into your heart And now you live the spiritual life by the power of the Word of God. By the power of the Spirit of God, by the power of the Word of God. And you execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Those are the spiritual skills. The believer can only manufacture grace, righteousness, sacred honor, virtue, integrity, by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So the corrected translation, anyone who does not do righteousness, who does not manufacture grace, righteousness, sacred honor, virtue, integrity, he is not of God. This is the present active indicative of eimi with the objective negative ouk plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of theos with a definite article. Eimi is the to be verb. The objective negative ouk slams the door. He absolutely is not. He absolutely is not. Ek plus the genitive singular of theos. Ek plus theos in the genitive. That's ek and theos, theos. Ek plus the genitive of theos. And this is generally, if you just wanted to had 1 year of Greek, you would say of God. He absolutely is not a student or disciple of God. He absolutely is not a disciple of God. He absolutely is not a student of God. So, one, he absolutely is not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Anyone who does not do righteousness, anyone, this is believer, any believer who does not manufacture grace, righteousness, sacred honor, virtue, integrity, he absolutely is not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He's a believer, but he is not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, too. Instead, he is the devil's disciple. He's made himself the devil's disciple, and he's living in Satan's cosmic system. Instead, he has made himself the devil's disciple, and he is living in Satan's cosmic system. Three, there is no grace righteousness and no virtue love produced in Satan's cosmic system. There is no grace righteousness. There is no sacred honor. There is no integrity. There is no virtue. There is no virtue love produced in Satan's cosmic system. Four, there is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. All virtue is in the spiritual life that God has given to us in the church age. There is no virtue in the cosmic system. All virtue is in the spiritual life. So the corrected translation, anyone who does not do righteousness, anyone who does not manufacture grace righteousness, sacred honor, virtue, integrity, he absolutely is not a student or disciple of God. He absolutely is not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. And then he goes on, John goes on, neither he that loveth not his brother. This is the conjunction chi plus the articular present active participle of agapao with the negative me, plus the accusative singular of adelphos with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of autos. The conjunction chi, the connective chi, but when you have it combined with the negative me, you translate it nor. And then we have the verb agapao. We're going to have this a lot in the next two chapters. Agapao, A-G-A-P-A, long O. Agapao. Now, generally, point one, agapao means to love. To love. Most believers even understand agape, to love, and agapao, to love. They just don't know what it means. Two, it is the verb for virtue love. The verb for virtue love. Three, in our verse, the emphasis is on impersonal love for your fellow believer. Impersonal love for your fellow believer. All believers. Four, the negative may. This believer does not love. He does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Oh, some of them he will, but only some of them. There's a lot of them he doesn't. And what that simply means is he's living in Satan's cosmic system. He is not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. He does not have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. The articular participle, once again, is substantival. It functions as a noun. So you translate it, the one who does not love his fellow believer. The one who does not love his fellow believer. And the word believer is the Greek word adelphos. Looks like that in the Greek, A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S. Adelphos. Literally, it means brother. It's a technical term in the New Testament scriptures for the royal family of God, fellow believers. And the intensive pronoun autos is used for the third person personal pronoun, very common in Koine Greek. It's translated his fellow believer. So the corrected translation. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Now that we have the second half of verse 10, which is the beginning of this new paragraph on grace, righteousness, and impersonal love. Anyone who does not do righteousness, who does not produce grace, righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, he absolutely is not a student or disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Impersonal love for all. Nobody understands this and communicates virtue love as well as the Apostle John. Now that brings us to verse 11, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Here is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. For this is the message. This is the conjunction hati with the nominative singular feminine of the demonstrative pronoun hutas, plus the present active indicative of ami, plus the nominative singular of angalia with the definite article. Hati looks like this. H-O-T-I. Hati. Hati is a causal conjunction, is correctly translated because. Because, and then we have hutas. Hutas looks like this, H-O-U-T-O-S. And hutas is a demonstrative pronoun, the near demonstrative pronoun, correctly translated this. It refers to what follows now in the rest of the verse. Ami is the Greek to be verb is. And then we have angalia. Angelia looks like that in the Greek. A, two gammas together. The first one is an N, and then the G, E, L, I, A. Angelia. One, angelia sometimes means the good news and refers to the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. So sometimes it is used for the grace gospel of Christ. It means good news. Two, it generally means message. It generally means message. Three, it specifically means commands or mandate. And this is how it's used in our verse. Command. Because this is the command. Verse 11. Because this is the command that you heard from the beginning. This is the accusative singular from the relative pronoun host plus the aorist active indicative of the verb akouo plus the prepositional phrase apa plus the genitive singular of arche. The relative pronoun host that's H-O-S, host. It is a feminine singular relative pronoun and refers back. It always has an antecedent. Since it's in the feminine singular, you look back to a feminine singular antecedent, and that is angelia, and therefore this is which command? Which command? And then we have the verb akouo. A-K-O-U long O. Akouo. One, generally, akouo means to hear. First year Greek student will tell you that. To hear. Two, in our passage specifically, it refers to hearing the teaching of the Word of God. Refers to hearing the teaching of the Word of God. Romans 10:17, which you hear from this pulpit, again and again and again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the teaching of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the teaching of the Word of God. Three, specifically it refers to having the doctrinal teaching concerning the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Specifically, it refers to hearing the doctrinal teaching on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The aorist tense is a constative aorist. You would graph it like this. The constative aorist is viewing all the teaching on the commands to love one another with impersonal love and viewing it in its entirety. The active voice, believers with positive volition and humility, perform the action of the verb, assembling in a sound Bible teaching church, and hear the teaching on the mandate of loving one another with impersonal love. The indicative mood is declarative, viewing this as certainty, as absolute reality and historical fact for all winner believers. All winner believers living the spiritual life. This is not true of or reality or certainty for loser believers living in Satan's cosmic system. And then we have apa, preposition apa, plus the genitive singular of arche. Apa plus the genitive. That's A-P-O. Apa plus the genitive is from. And then we have arche, which looks like this. A-R-C-H long E. Arche. And this is the beginning. So this Apa plus the genitive singular of RK from the beginning. From the beginning of what? This refers to the beginning of our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. From the very beginning of our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry on earth, he taught this again and again and again and again. And with of all those disciples who were there, now Paul wasn't there. Paul came along after the resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ in heaven. But John was there, and John, well, that's the disciple that the Lord Jesus Christ loved. Jesus Christ loved to be around John. Loved to be with John. Loved to talk. He knew that John was 100% focused on everything he was teaching about virtue, love. He knew it. And nobody in the Word of God, nobody in the New Testament Scriptures got it like the Apostle John got it. And we're going to see it. Hopefully you will get it. This is the most important thing you can ever learn in your spiritual life. Is virtue love. So, corrected translation of verse 11. Because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning of our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. Because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning. What is it? That we should love one another. This is hina plus the present active subjunctive of agapao plus the accusative plural of the reciprocal pronoun alelon. Hina looks like that in the Greek, H-I-N-A. And Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 378, says that hina takes the place of the explanatory infinitive and is correctly translated that. And then we have the repetition of the verb agapao. Again, the verb to love, a special verb for virtue love. When it's used with the reciprocal pronoun alelon, alelon looks like that. A-L-L long E-L long O-N. Alelon. When it's used with the reciprocal pronoun alelon, it means each other or one another. And it refers specifically to impersonal love for all. For one another, for each other, for all mankind. Now in this paragraph, the emphasis again and again is impersonal love for all believers. So 1 John 3, 10b through verse 11. Corrected translation. Anyone who does not do righteousness, who does not produce grace, righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, he absolutely is not a student or disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning, that we, all believers, should love one another. We should love each other with impersonal love. All right. 1 John 3:10b emphasizes that there is a very close relationship between grace righteousness and impersonal love for all. 1 John 3:10b emphasizes there is a very close relationship between grace righteousness and impersonal love for all. too. Impersonal love for all is the overt manifestation of grace righteousness in your soul. Impersonal love for all is the overt manifestation of grace righteousness in your soul. Three, grace righteousness is the believer living his life by the royal family honor code. Grace righteousness is the believer living his life by the royal family honor code. Four, he has sacred honor, integrity, and virtue in his soul, which enables him to have impersonal love for all. He has sacred honor, integrity, virtue in his soul, which enables him to have impersonal love for all. Five. This relationship between grace righteousness and impersonal love for all can only exist in the life of the believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. It's impossible for the believer living in Satan's cosmic system to have any virtue, any sacred honor, any integrity, any grace righteousness, definitely has no impersonal love for all. So this relationship between grace righteousness and impersonal love for all can only exist in the life of the believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Six, this command to love one another with impersonal love was taught by our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. John was there every time that the Lord Jesus Christ taught this. And John totally got it. Totally got it. No New Testament communicator comes close to communicating virtue, love, and this mandate that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. So this command to love one another with impersonal love was taught by our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. And John, who was a student and disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, totally got it. And we're going to see it. We're going to see it tonight. We're going to see it throughout chapter 3 and then the first half of chapter 4 and then the second half of chapter 4. Wow! He'll blow your socks off when we get to the second half of 1 John chapter 4. Turn over to John 13. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. The Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 13. And we're going to start at verse 34. If you have a red letter edition, you notice it's in red letters. That means Jesus Christ is teaching. He's teaching his disciples. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. They will also know that you're a disciple of the devil if you have mental attitude sins of hate and anger, bitterness, and sins of the tongue of judging and slandering and maligning your fellow believer. Then you're announcing to the world that you're a disciple of the devil. But the Lord Jesus Christ, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now just advance over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Again, you're going to see a lot of red letters because Jesus Christ is teaching again. John 15, verse 12. My command is this. This is a command from Jesus Christ. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. And then go down to verse 17. This is my command. Notice every time it's a command. This is my command. Love each other. So the command to love one another with virtue love was taught by our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. He taught it again and again, and the Apostle John totally got it. 7. Impersonal love emphasizes the subject, the one who is doing the loving, as having grace righteousness. He has sacred honor. He has virtue and integrity for all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Impersonal love emphasizes the subject, the one doing the loving, as having grace righteousness. He has sacred honor and virtue and integrity for all. Doesn't matter who the all is. It could be anybody. Good believers, bad believers, ugly believers. We got more bad and ugly believers than we have good believers. But it's easy to have, be nice and have, well, you'll call it, I love a few. No, you don't have virtue love at all. If you pick and choose and you have mental attitude sins and hate and anger and bitterness and sins of the tongue, you gossip and malign and judge and slander, you don't have virtue love. You don't even know what it is. You have no spiritual life. You're living in the cosmic system. You're the devil's disciple. You're not God's disciple. 8. Impersonal love means you are free from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. You don't go there. Impersonal love means you are free from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. You don't go there. Life's too short to spend your time with mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. 9. Impersonal love emphasizes the character of the subject, the grace righteousness of the one doing the loving. Impersonal love emphasizes the character of the subject, the grace righteousness of the one doing the loving. Ten. This is in contrast to personal love. Personal love emphasizes the attractiveness of the object. Personal love emphasizes the attractiveness of the object. And that's usually the only kind of love that believers today have is some personal love when the object is attractive. But I got news for you. People don't stay attractive. Just look at what happens. Take some pictures out of what you look like when you were 16, 20, 25, 40, 50, 60, 90, 110. You're not attractive. You know, then the guy says to his wife, "You know, I loved you when you were 16. But I haven't loved you for 50 years. You got ugly." What is that? Well, there's no virtue. Personal love, for it to be successful, must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Personal love must be inside the integrity envelope of grace, righteousness, of sacred honor and virtue and integrity for it to be successful. 11. Impersonal love is the believer living the spiritual life and operating by the royal family honor code. Impersonal love is the believer living the spiritual life and operating by the royal family honor code, in contrast to the believer who is living in Satan's cosmic system. Impersonal love is the believer living the spiritual life and operating by the royal family honor code, in contrast to the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. 12. You cannot produce impersonal love for one another when you are living in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. You cannot produce impersonal love for another when you are living in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. 13. You cannot love one another with impersonal love when you have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, when you have hatred and bitterness and jealousy, and you judge others and slander others, malign others. When you judge, slander, malign your fellow believer, when you hate and are angry with your fellow believer, you cannot love with virtue love. You have no virtue love. You have no spiritual life. You are not a disciple of God. You're a disciple of the devil. So, I mean, this is great stuff. John is just getting warmed up. This is great stuff. 1 John 3:10b. Anyone who does not do righteousness, anyone who does not produce grace, righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, he absolutely is not a student, a disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Because this is a command, which command you have heard from the beginning, that we all believers should love each other with virtue love. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.